chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And that's where we will be at. Am I on, Shane? Okay, yes, I am on. Amen. All right. Hopefully everybody is getting ready for the holiday season. You're getting all your preparations made. We're not rushing Jesus out of the season, taking time to reminisce on the Lord and during this time as well. And by the way, this is a busy time. It's going to go hand in hand with what we're going to discuss tonight. We left off talking about the setting of the first day of the week. So take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 20. And once you get there, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read verses 7, 8, and 9 and hopefully get through a little bit of this tonight. Acts chapter number 20. Talked about the significance of the first day on Paul's travels. And now we're talking about the setting of the first day, verses 7, 8, and 9. And Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. We just began to touch upon this last week. The young man Eutychus is about to fall asleep in church and fall down and die. Amen. That's pretty encouraging in church, isn't it? Amen. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, 8, 9. Read with me together, starting in verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Man, how'd y'all like that? And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Now, they don't really tell us how high the third loft is, but obviously it was tall enough to kill somebody. Amen. You know, you don't have to fall far to kill yourself. You just got to hit yourself at the right spot and the right point in your body. And you can actually die from a smaller fall. Amen. But it was the third loft here. I pray the Lord will speak to our hearts here in just the next few minutes. Father, work now with your word, blessing our hearts, encouraging us as well to do greater and mightier things for thee. Help us to make a little bit more sense of this area, Lord, how it applies to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. We saw the significance of the first day, and now we're going to look at the setting of the first day. We looked at just briefly this last week, and I mentioned this, the lighting in the room. The lighting in the room. They didn't have electricity, so their lights were heated lights. How many of y'all have ovens? And you have gas ovens where flames actually come out. Amen. There's something about the gas. I mean, it puts out that heat. I mean, it feels nice and warm. And so, you know, they probably had candle lights of some sort in this room where they were meeting. We don't know the ventilation. We don't know how everything was there. But we do know there had to be some type of lighting if they were indoors. All right. So we see, first of all, with the setting of the first day of the week, the lighting in the room. But then we see a lad in the room. Notice verse 9. There sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus. Now remember, according to verse number 7, it is the first day of the week. They had already broke bread together. And Paul is preaching on them, to them up until midnight. Now if you just broke bread, what is the one thing that you want to do besides go to the bathroom? Go to sleep. You eat on Thanksgiving, man. What is the first thing you eyeball that couch? Get that remote control and you situate yourself so that you can go to sleep. The average person, when they get a full stomach, gets lethargic. If you're average, some folks don't get lethargic. They want to eat more. Amen. But there are most folks who do get lethargic. So we see the lighting in the room. We see the lad in the room. We know that he had already eaten some food. We know Paul is preaching until midnight. And so it says there, Eutychus being fallen into a deep sleep. We see the lull in the room. Obviously, I don't know what it is that allowed this young man to go to sleep, but something whether it was the food or whether it was the heat in the room, something caused him to go to sleep. Now, I don't know what it is, amen, but there was something there. We're going to kind of speculate tonight. But then notice it says something as well, not just the lighting in the room, the light in the room, the lull in the room, the length in the room. It says down there, he's fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, Paul got winded there. It said the young man sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. So we're going to look at some things here over the next several minutes here as to possibly why this young man fell asleep. Anybody want to guesstimate why he might have fallen asleep? Brother Shirk? Preacher might have went too long. Why else might he have fallen asleep? Rose?
Maybe he didn't have a good night's sleep.
Maybe he didn't have a good night's sleep. That's possible. What else? Jeremiah? Up early working. All right, let's get a little bit more personal. Yeah, Carlene?
He was bored,
could be. Now, how could anybody be bored with the Apostle Paul? But it's possible. You know, now think about it. Why do we fall asleep in church sometimes? Some of these same reasons that we just mentioned and probably some others. I want us to notice, first of all, listening to preaching is a spiritual battle. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 2. It's a spiritual battle. You don't just come into church and casually listen to preaching. It's not going to work. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2. Notice the Bible says down there, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There is one called the prince of the power of the air. And whilst Paul preaches, before it gets to the listener's ears, the prince of the power of the air takes that word and twists it and makes it go into Aaron's ear in a certain way. The prince of the power of the air is going to take that same word and twist it and make it go into Shireen's ear a certain way. He's going to take it and make it go into Brianna's ear in a certain way. He's going to take it and twist it and make it go into Pastor White's ear a certain way. That's what he does. That's why when the preaching goes out, and as soon as it leaves the preacher's mouth, before it gets to your ears, you begin to think of other things. There's a prince of the power of the air out there that makes listening to preaching very difficult. Say, preacher, why? It's spiritual. And the devil does not want you to hear anything spiritual that can help you out. Show you another verse here, Romans 6:12. I'm sorry, Ephesians 6:12. Many of you already know this verse. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it's not Paul that this guy is wrestling with. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so there's a real ranking structure of evil that's delegated authority that's here. There are rulers that have some supernatural strength that can do certain things, and you cannot see them. I cannot see them, but yet and still they're here. And so we know that listening to preaching, when the preaching goes out, it's spiritual and there's a real devil. So it's a spiritual battle, but it's a specific battle as well. Go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. By the way, may I submit to you that if you don't come with the intention on hearing the word of God, you won't hear it. You say that again. If you don't personally come with the intention on hearing the word of God, you won't hear it. Let me rephrase that. You won't hear it the way you need to hear it. You'll hear it all right, like you hear noise. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, or hatred against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Notice this, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so if this is a spiritual battle, a specific battle, if I'm in the flesh, I cannot listen to the word of God. And so there's going to be some real hindrances to me hearing the word of God. Staying awake is a great challenge when it comes to spiritual things. Can somebody say amen? The flesh does not want anything spiritual. I know before I got saved, people tried their hardest to get me to church. They tried their hardest to give me the word of God. And my flesh said, no. My flesh said, it ain't happening. The flesh said, it's going to cramp my style. I won't be able to do what I want to do. But let me give you some real realities here about this. The flesh hates the word of God and preaching, especially if you are tired already. Most of us work 8 hours a day. Most of us have physical jobs. Those that don't have physical jobs have computer jobs, which is just work just as bad. And those that aren't out there working out there are working in the homes with children, which is doubly as bad. Because you don't get a break. At least if you're working out there, you can go to the water fountain out there. You can go away. When you're working with kids, where are you going to go? You can't leave the kids in the house by themselves. Amen. Just imagine Jenny going, give me some me time. She's going to go around the block, leave Joy at home. I don't think that Joy's going to be happy with that. I don't think Julianne's going to be happy with that. Jeremiah definitely ain't going to be happy with that. So when you're working at home, you can't just get up and leave. At your jobs, you can do that. And so we know we work, we get tired. And so things seem to go in slow motion when you're sleepy and when you're tired. You ever been sleepy and tired and you try to watch a television program and you kind of catch bits and pieces of it? And you're like, you wake up and catch another piece of it. And say, how was the movie? The pieces I saw, pretty good. Amen. And oftentimes, too, when the preacher's preaching, he's going in slow motion. And as you're going droopy-eyed, it's like you see him going like this. The next thing you know, he's saying, amen, and it's time to go. And you think, where did the time go? I thought I just saw him. What am I saying? This is a spiritual battle here, and I believe Eutychus is going through a spiritual battle of some sort. Eutychus is not alone, and neither are we. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse 36, and we're going to look at the some of the most spiritual around Jesus, the disciples, 26. Eutychus is not alone in this matter of falling asleep. In the matter of spiritual business, 26, and let's pick it up in verse number 36. What's going on here? During the greatest challenge and conflict of Jesus' earthly ministry, the Garden of Gethsemane experience, this would be among the top where we see his humanity. He's going to ask God if there's any way possible that he could remove this cup from him. That is the height of his humanity. He's just being real and showing you and I an example of sometimes we're not going to want to do what we know we ought to do, but we're going to do it anyway. Amen. And so at the time of his greatest humanity viewing, we see this. He's asking Peter, James, and John, which you always find these three, to come along to watch and pray while he went further in praise. And by the way, you often find Peter, James, and John with Jesus. And doesn't it just seem so much like today? You got a few folks that's going to do everything. You got a few folks going to come on Wednesday night. You got a few folks going to come back Sunday night. Well, most of the mass crowd will come on Sunday morning. But then Sunday night and Wednesday night, you got a few folks. And these few folks are with Jesus, the James, John, and Peter. By the way, you look at it, they did the most. You look at the New Testament. Who wrote most of the books in the New Testament? Paul wrote most of them, but James did some too. John did some too. Peter did some too, but most of it is by James, John, and Peter, and Paul. They did most of it. Matthew, of course, we got the book of Matthew, got the book of Luke, got the book of Mark, but most of it, John, Peter, Paul. So when you look at the disciples, not a whole lot of them did anything, but Jesus took these three with him. And the disciples' defense, much like us, I believe they had a busy week ministering with Jesus. We're getting towards the time of the crucifixion. Jesus is preaching his last round of sermons, giving the sermon on the Olivet Discord about what's going to happen. He's gone in, he talked to the priest. There's a lot of ministry that's happened this week. And don't you believe that Peter, James, and John are probably tired because they probably did the bulk of the work? And so Jesus takes them down here now to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he leaves the nine disciples back here, and he says, James, John, and Peter, I want you guys to go with me. Now, they're already tired. Would you agree with me? They're already tired. They just had the Lord's supper and the table, the Lord's table and all that. That has already happened. He takes them aside. They finally get away from the crowds. There's no crowds here. The other nine disciples are not there. It's probably quiet. It's probably peaceful. Jesus is there. What better serenity could you ask for? And I've already eaten. Now I got to stay awake and watch. Pick it up with me in verse number 36. Notice what it says down there in verse 36. And then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. Saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. So Jesus says, the nine are back there. We are here. I want you to stay here and watch. We already know he knows that the soldiers are coming. So he says, I want you to watch. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to pray. Now, again, it's peaceful. The nine disciples are not there. It's quiet. Jesus is there. They are tired. Jesus leaves them alone to watch while he goes to pray. Remember, this is the busy group that seemed to do more than others. Notice what it says down there. And he went a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them, what? Asleep. So Eutychus is not the only one that had this issue. I believe when God's people get busy, we physically get drained. It's going to happen. And so they come and they cannot watch with Jesus. They were asleep. And saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Would you agree that your spirit is willing? I would. Would you agree that your flesh is weak? I definitely would. Notice what it says down there. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it. My will be done. And he came and found them what? Asleep again, for the eyes were heavy. What am I saying? When you get tired in ministry and when you get busy, you're going to get tired. You're going to get tired. And their defense being the most busy, they were an easy target for sleep. The faithful group, Peter, James, and John, seem to do more than everyone else. And the result are these scripture verses here. Notice what it says in verse 44. He left them again, left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, what? Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Now he left them the watch and they fell asleep on the watch. Perhaps they were kneeling down, and kneeling down, it's easy to fall asleep. Perhaps their heads were down in this prostrate position, and it's easy to nod off when your head is down. How many of y'all agree with that? Falling asleep is easy when you are in these categories. Let me list five categories that going to sleep on spiritual business is easy in. First category is, I believe, where the disciples are, and I believe where many of God's servants are today, drained. Physically drained, they're tired from ministry, they're tired from life, they're tired from being busy. They work all day, they go out to make a living, they've got families, they've got jobs, they've got things that they do, and I believe the average person comes into the house of God drained. There's no knock against us, it's just a reality. We work. And we come in, we're drained. We're tired. How many of y'all say amen to that? We are. I believe the disciples went through the same thing. Now, is that what Eutychus went through? I don't know. Second category, not just drained, but then drowsy. drowsy. Lengthy days and weeks of activities with Jesus Christ, I believe, they lost some sleep along the way. Now it's quiet, and so now they get a chance to kind of nod a little bit. It's quiet. The other nine disciples are back here. Nobody's going to bug them. James and John and Peter probably did a lot of the ministry there, and they probably looked at each other and said, okay, guys, let's pray. Let's get down on our knees here. And for long, they're all three snoring. But Peter's the only one that got ratted out. Why? Maybe he was snoring the loudest. I don't know. And so drowsy, many are not getting adequate rest or adequate sleep, or they have very demanding jobs. And so not only are they drained, but now they're drowsy. Maybe they didn't get a good night's sleep last night. Maybe the spouse snores. Maybe the baby was up all night. I remember Joshua. Man, I mean, we first brought him home. So that boy cried and he cried and he cried. I said, look, I've got to go to work tomorrow. Somebody got to go. Either he going to go out or I'm going to go out. Somebody got to go. May I say I stayed in my room. Why? He cried all night. And I said, I got to go to work. I'm going to be drowsy tomorrow. Drained or drowsy. Some other categories that lead to sleeping on spiritual things. This one affects young people quite often. Disinterested. Somebody said they were bored. Disinterested. When you don't identify with what's going on or what's being preached, you can easily become disinterested. I've spoken to singles before, and they say, you know, when you preach on marriages and families, I check out. I said, why do you check out? Well, because what you're saying doesn't apply to me. I said, but it might one day when you get married. And so you need to put that in your memory bank. Teens often get disinterested if it's not a subject that's in tune with them. And so they check out when they get disinterested. Maybe if it's not your particular sin or a particular thing you need work on, you get disinterested and you check out. And so sleep then becomes a good thing for you because I don't need that anyway. Is that what Eutychus had? Don't know. But I know children get into that often because they feel like, well, I don't have children's church, and so how am I going to pay attention? Disinterested then often leads to this next D, distracted. There's a reason why Mrs. Dawson and I always sit up front. That's not just here. Any church we go to, we always sit in front. You know why? We don't want to get distracted. There are people blowing their noses. They're doing this and with their hair, you know. And plus, when you sit in front of people with the big, big heads, you know, you can't see anyway, man. Or they had the big hats or whatever. You can't see. And so we always made a practice of sitting in front so that we're not distracted. You say, preacher, does that make you super spiritual? No, it makes me easily distractible. And because I'm easily distractible, I do something about my distraction. I minimize them. So now I don't have to see anything. I don't have to see anybody getting up. I'll say, did you see so-and-so came into church? No, I was in the front. I didn't see anybody come in except myself. Did you see so-and-so when they left out of here with a bloody nose? No, I didn't see anything. I was facing up front. I didn't see anything. And so disinterested can lead into being distracted. And when you get disinterested and you get distracted, things can catch you like daydreaming. You see what you don't hear. I mean, I've been there before. You see something, but you don't really see it because your mind is daydreaming on something else. Amen. You know, preacher, preach past 12:30. Folks are daydreaming about what I'm eating for dinner for lunch. That roast beef. Oh, man, it tastes good now. And you just know pastor said something about roast beef. He mentioned nothing about roast beef. But you've been daydreaming about it. You saw it coming out of the oven. You salivated over it. Oh, it's going to be good. I feel sorry for Brother Dunn. He had to lead me to the Lord on a Sunday. Took me 2.5 hours, you know, I don't know, 2.5, 3 hours. But 2.5 hours. And he had dinner to go. And he was one of these guys that had to eat on schedule. And he had me to contend with. And I had question after question after question after question. And I don't know if the pot roast burnt or not, but he was not happy. And it was almost as if he would say, boy, if you don't hurry up and get saved, I'm going to leave you right here in this room. And I kept asking questions. And I could tell it was just right on the tip of his tongue. But I didn't care. I'm going to get saved. And so You got either drained physically from working, you're drowsy from a lengthy day of activities, or disinterested because the subject maybe doesn't matter to me, or I'm distracted, or I'm daydreaming, or the last one is maybe you're just dull. Some are spiritually dull, and so what they hear does not even apply to them at all. It's blob. It's like Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. Dull. Trust me, I was that way going to church all the time. I didn't hear a thing. Didn't hear a thing. I heard the choir. I heard that. But as soon as the preacher opened up the Bible and began to preach it, I checked out. I became disinterested because I was dull. I got distracted. I started daydreaming. Amen. And eventually I fell off to sleep like Eutychus. Amen. And I was leaning up next to my grandmother like this. And my grandfather was on the other side of her like this. And my grandmother was right in the middle, elbowing both of us like that. And neither one of us would wake up. Staying awake during spiritual activities like preaching and like prayer and like Bible study takes spiritual discipline, spiritual desire, spiritual determination, and spiritual duty. How many ever fell asleep reading your Bible? How many ever fell asleep reading, praying? It happens. It happens. Why? It's a spiritual battle. The devil doesn't want you to do it. I mean, you can be wide awake. And as soon as you go to do some Bible reading or some prayer, you go to sleep. As soon as that period is over, I mean, you're just as bright-eyed and bushy-tailed as can be. And you think, what happened? You got away from that which was spiritual. Eutychus, we don't know what caused him to fall, but something did cause him to fall out of this window. Sometimes when it comes to spiritual activities, we have got to stand up and get up and wake up and freshen up before we give up. Pastor Wyatt, remember back in the days in boot camp, what did they tell you to do when you went through boot camp if you're going to get sleepy? Stand up. They said, stand up and go to the back of the room. If you got caught sleeping in your chair, let's just say you would be the laughing stock because they would make a fool of you. And Brother Shirk, did anybody ever fall asleep in your class? Nobody fell asleep in my class, I know that. Pastor, why anybody fall asleep in your class? What happened to him? The drill sergeant, they don't play with that. My drill sergeant was the Golden Gloves boxing champ, and so you definitely ain't going to fall asleep on him. Give you a couple quick items here that's going to help you and I with a Eutychus type of life or a disciples type of life. And these are very simple, and these are very easy, and these are things that we should be doing anyway. Number one, get proper rest. Get proper rest. The disciples obviously were so busy, they probably didn't have good time to get good rest. Get proper rest. The spiritual life will drain you physically. Get proper rest. Be sure to get some adequate sleep. Number two, have a proper remembrance. What am I saying? A proper remembrance. Ask yourself this question, why am I here? Whether it's at church or opening up my Bible or whether it's in prayer, why am I in prayer? Why am I reading my Bible? Why am I in church? Ask the question, why am I here? Have a proper remembrance. What am I doing? If this is for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then I should do it with the utmost importance and urgency. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes when I read my Bible, you know how I read it? Walking around like this. Say, preacher, why? Because the minute I sit down, I'm going to fall asleep. And I know I'm not going to fall asleep walking. How many of y'all sleepwalk? Brother one. I'm not going to fall asleep walking. I know that. Amen. Sometimes I'll do this. I'll go outside when it's cold. Especially in the wintertime. I wake up at 5:00. One of the first things I do is wake up and I go outside. Why do I go outside? Because I know if I don't go outside and get some fresh air into my lungs, breathe that in. I'm going to sit in a warm house and go, oh, this is so warm. One of the things that I do not like sometimes, my kids, when they were small, they want to sit in my lap in church. And they sit in my lap, they're warm. And now I'm getting warm. And next thing I know, because they're all warm, they're huddled up next to you and they're asleep. And now you're looking at them, that looks pretty good. Next thing you know, you're asleep. Amen. Get proper rest. Have proper remembrance of why I'm doing what I'm doing. And then number three, give proper rendering. Have proper attention. Nehemiah 8:3 says, and he read therein before the start, before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were, here's the word, attentive unto the book of the law. So give proper rendering. Have proper attention with a proper attitude. This is God's word. This is God's book. Whether it's prayer, whether it's Bible reading, whether it's preaching, it's a spiritual battle. It's a specific battle. And if I don't come on purpose, ready to listen, it's not going to happen. Go back to Acts chapter 20. Let's finish up with Eutychus. Trust me, I've been there before. We see down there the length in the room is long preaching in verse number 9. We saw it's a spiritual battle. It's a specific battle. But then we see sometimes we can be drained. We can be drowsy, sometimes disinterested, sometimes distracted, sometimes dull. There are some helps. Get the proper rest. Have a proper remembrance. Have proper rendering. Have the proper attention and the proper attitude. But notice the life in the room. It says down there, according to verse number 9 at the end, Paul was long preaching. He sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. The life in the room, his life was gone. And by the way, you find the same thing happened over with Elijah and Elisha. They had the young man that died and they had to restore the man to life. Amen. Then verse number 10, not just the life in the room, notice the living back in the room. And Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Now imagine that. Man was just dead. And he was taken up dead. And Paul goes down and said, no, he ain't dead. He's all right. I said, no, Paul, he dead. Yeah, he was, but he's not anymore. And by the way, the same Paul could not heal towards the end of his ministry. But he's doing it now. What happened with Eutychus? Maybe he moved to the window because he was sleepy. Maybe the sleep got the best of him and he fell out the window. Don't know. He says down there, and Paul went down and fell on him, verse 10, embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was taken up again and had broken bread, he ate some more. Amen. And eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day. Paul went past midnight. He said, all right, we had this medical break here. Let's eat some food. Y'all all right? Amen. All right, let's have a snack. All right, everybody awake? All right. Wait, what time is it? It's 1 o'clock. All right. Here we go. Let's go. All right. Get those candles. Come on back here. Come on out of fellowship hall room. Come on in here. Where's Eutychus? Eutychus, stay away from that window. Amen. All right. Let's get in here and let's get the rest of this. And he goes on from midnight till the break of day after they took a brief pause. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. That means they were excited. So we see the length in the room. It was a long while. Paul kept him there from midnight. He said, y'all going to interrupt my message with a death? I'll tell you what's going to happen. We're going to keep preaching till the morning. Now, is that punishment? No. Paul knows he's not going to see these folks, and so he wants to give them some encouragement. What am I saying here? We're looking at this verse here, and I believe God puts this here for a reason. I believe he puts the disciples in there for a reason. Our humanity is going to make us get fatigued at times. We're going to get sleepy. We're going to get tired. The three greatest of the apostles besides Paul, Peter, James, and John fell asleep on Jesus. This guy, Eutychus, fell asleep. Why did he fall asleep? We don't know. Why did Peter, James, and John fall asleep? We don't know. But we know that we get physically drained. We know we get drowsy. We know sometimes we're going to get disinterested or distracted or daydream or sometimes even dull. But we've got a God in heaven that is there to revive us. I'm so glad that Paul was able to revive that young man, because that would have been a funeral otherwise. But it wasn't a funeral. It became a festive time. This guy was restored. And I bet he had a phobia of windows from that point on. One of the things that I would encourage us to do, make sure we get the proper rest. This is a busy season. It's one of the busiest seasons of the year. Get the proper rest. Don't burn the midnight oil. Don't burn the candle at both ends. Simplify your schedules. Don't try to do so much. Don't try to cook so much. Don't try to buy so much. Don't try to go so many places. Settle down. Rest. That's what your couch is there for. How many of y'all got a lazy boy? One. Use the lazy boy. How many of y'all got an easy boy? How many of y'all got a chair? All right, amen. Get that lazy boy, that easy boy, that chair, amen. Somebody gave us it's not a lazy boy. What is it called? You get lazy when you get in it, boy. I'm telling you, you do. It's comfortable. And so make sure that we get the rest that we need. Make sure we get the proper rendering, proper attention, the proper attitude when we're going to get into spiritual things like the reading of the Word of God, Bible studying, or preaching. Make sure we've got the proper attention, the proper attitude to receive that, because God wants to give us something. Understanding that we get tired. Understanding we're going to be drained. Understanding we're going to be drowsy. Understanding that. Brother Aaron lives. I saw him at Walmart the other day. Had this big old pallet of stuff. And this was right, this was the day before Thanksgiving. And they were working him hard. He pulling that thing through there, amen. I thought, glory. Brother got to unload all that by himself. He's going to be tired. Brother Shirk looks at a computer screen. That's more tiring because your eyeballs pop out. My soul. And then you got the ladies here that homeschool and have the children at home. Whoa, they don't get a break because they can't get away. They wait till daddy get home so they can chuck the kids at him. Amen. Go, get away, Calgon, take me away. What am I saying? Get the proper rest, proper rendering, and have the proper attention and attitude to the things of God. And the life in the room was given back, the living in the room, and then the length in the room. They continued on. We're going to get tired at times, especially during this season. Make sure that we take care of ourselves. By the way, if you and I die, there's no Paul to resuscitate us. You know, if we're so tired, we're going to drive while we're sleeping. Trust me, I've done it. I scared myself. Fell asleep driving. And I got deathly afraid when I woke up and jerked the steering wheel. I rolled down all the windows, turned up the music as loud as I could possibly get it until I can get home. I thought, man, that's dangerous. That's about as bad as drinking and driving. Why? I was out for a split second. I was out just like that. I thought, whoa, this is scary. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Take care of ourselves. Amen. This is a special time of the year. And the Eutychus, I believe, gives us a good example, along with the disciples, that it's going to happen to us. We want to make sure that we minimize that time as much as we can to make sure that we can get a hold of God. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together, Lord. Help us, Lord, when we get fatigued, we get drowsy. Lord, we want to make sure that we give you our dead level best. And thank God for Paul being there to raise Eutychus back to life and to give him the energy that he needed. But Lord, we know many are in the house of God, Lord, and we're tired and we get drowsy. And Lord, we are drained because of the week and the world and what happens. And so, Lord, help us to get the proper rest and, Lord, the rendering that we need to worship you with a proper attitude and, Lord, a proper attention to the things of God. Help us, Lord. We know it's not easy. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But we know I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, Lord. Help us to do that which is pleasing in thy sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, brother, let's hand those out. We're going to go right into the business meeting. And won't be long because there's not really a whole lot there.